This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Bill Gates gets the boot. We've got that story, plus Celebrite gets the hack. But first, via the mail on Sunday, James, you know, we kind of ended last week's episode saying, oh, geez, there is a lot of rough news. 2017's already shaping up to be pretty rough. I like this story to begin with. Not that it's ha-ha funny, but I find it's an interesting insight into what we kind of see going on all around the world. And it comes via the mail on Sunday. The vast majority of left-wing protesters arrested on suspicion of politically fueled offenses in Berlin are young men who live with their parents. The figures in a new report, which were published in the daily newspaper Bild in Germany, revealed that 873 suspects were invested by authorities between 2003 and 2013, in a decade. Of these, 84% were men and 72% were between 18 and 29. More than half of the arrests were made in the Berlin districts of Friedrichshain, Kreuzberg, and Mitte, mostly during demonstrations. A third of them were unemployed, and 92% of them still live with their parents. The figures published in the Berlin newspaper said the offenses committed against a person, in 4 out of 5 cases, the victims were police officers. In 15% of these cases, the victims were right-wing activists. The new figures were released by the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, which also notes between 2009 and 2013, the Bild report claims, left-wing assassins attempted to commit 11 murders. Now, I'm glad I actually translated the original Bild story from German, because I learned that their headline was 92% of the radically left-wing ones still live with mummy. James?
Well, indeed, it reminds us of that quote that has been attributed to Winston Churchill, probably falsely. If you're not a liberal at 25, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 35, you have no brain. Yeah. But this is just more of that left-right divide-and-conquer nonsense that I see being pushed out absolutely as hard as I've ever seen it in my life right now. Not just from the mainstream, but from the pseudo-supposed alternative as well. It's all about just hating and making fun of and mocking and basically trying to put down anyone who doesn't agree with you 100% on everything. And it is about hate your neighbor, not your rulers. Which is the exact opposite of what I think we need to be concentrating on. So that's the way I see this story. And I have a lot more to say about this because I really think this is probably the most important issue we're dealing with right now. And TrueStream Media has put up a couple of great videos in the past week about this, about the divide and conquer and about chaos, programmed chaos and all of this. So I will direct people to those recent videos. And you don't want to dehumanize your quote-unquote enemy, because the real enemy is not your neighbors, it's not people living with their mommy or whatever. It is the people who own and control the system. It is the banksters, it is the people at the top of the system, it is not your neighbor.
An interesting flip side to this one, James's, will include as a related story from the BBC. Police forces across the UK paid out at least £22 million to informants over the last 5 years, according to figures obtained by BBC Radio 5. I think it's these kind of stories, and I mean all of these stories that we'll talk about this week on episode 297 of New World Next Week for February 9th, 2017. Hopefully try and get at the heart, or at least strike at the root and look at kind of deep state politics of what really goes on behind the scenes of how this divide and conquer has been going on and on and on. And James, I think, unfortunately, in some ways, it still hits on the purge meme that I have been talking about for the better part of the last year or so. Hate thy neighbor. It is, you know, seasons don't matter anymore. We talked about the summer of rage. It turned into the fall. It just continues on and on and on. Our second story this week comes via Redmond Pie Online, as back in spring of 2016, and we made only brief mention of it in some of the related headlines towards the end of a New World Next Week episode. Spring 2016, when Apple refused to unlock an iPhone 5C for the authorities following the San Bernardino incident in December 2015. The company made the argument that if created a tool for opening up an encrypted iPhone, then it would create the potential for that tool to fall into the wrong hands and ultimately make iPhone encryption obsolete. The FBI disagreed and went ahead and found someone else to do the hacking, Israeli firm Cellebrite. Now, in a turn of events that have more than a hint of irony to them, Cellebrite has now had their own servers hacked, with most parts of that iPhone hacking tool leaked now out on the web. A report by Motherboard cites a source who hacked into a remote Cellebrite server and stole 900 gigs of data, including evidence that Cellebrite also works for countries like Russia, Turkey, and UAE. I feel like I've maybe heard those countries mentioned in the news recently. James, this story happened a few weeks ago, or at least we hear about it a few weeks ago, and now this is slowly kind of catching your interest and everyone else's interest as well. What makes you hit up on this story right now?
Well, I think this is just particularly interesting, given that we've just now seen the confirmation of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, and as people know who were watching my recent interviews, like the one with Derek Brose, where Jeff Sessions has talked about the need to put back doors into things, and who is very much a supporter of the iPhone incident that we saw last year with the San Bernardino thing and the U.S. government trying to get Apple to force the door open. Of course, we now know they went with Cellebrite to so they didn't have to force it legally. But this is exactly why you do not want to put backdoors into software or hardware that so that the government can have their backdoor access, is because that access will be discovered by others. And now it's out there. It's out in the wild. So this super secret way that the government was able to unlock iPhones, hey, now it's out there and, you know, presumably out there on the black market and will be used by criminals. Surprise, surprise, surprise of absolutely no one. This is why you do not want to purposefully weaken security. This is why it is so dangerous. So I will direct people back to my conversation with Derek Brose about Sessions and about the war on encryption that I think is going to be another one of the main themes of the incoming Trump administration.
And you just said Sessions got confirmed. I mean, he just got confirmed mere moments ago, pretty much as we were sitting down to tape this episode. 2 points, James, I want to include right here. I covered this story back on January 17th on my morning show. I do a daily morning show that I broadcast live. Israeli phone hacking firm Cellebrite confirms information security breach. And another one that goes along with this, I actually talked about this very morning, but I'll include a link in the show notes to a clip from that episode this morning. Ohio man's pacemaker data betrays him in arson insurance fraud case. It's a really interesting story about, obviously, a guy tries to burn his house down, but the data on his heart says a different story about what may have actually happened. I think it goes along with that story of the hot tub smart meter data being used as evidence in a murder trial. And these are the stories now of, James, things that we've talked about for, what is it, 7+ years on New World Next Week, have not only grown and hatched, it's sort of they're having their offspring, and we're seeing these stories now play out in court, and they even become just sort of part of the mundane background, and of course it's also massively precedent setting as well. So I'll plug myself with both of those Morning Monarchy links. As another thing we noted, James, last week was pretty depressing end. Some bit of good news, as I did not do a good news next week episode this week. Gates Foundation mission shut down in India for their big pharma ties. And we grabbed this via India Times. India has shut down Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on a critical national health mission and possible conflict of interest issues arising from the foundation's ties with pharmaceutical companies being just one of the reasons. All financial ties of the country's immunization advisory body with the Gates Foundation have been cut off. India Times has learned that the government's decision was informed by, among other factors, arguments from senior medical professionals centered around conflict of interest issues. There were questions about the Gates Foundation's ties with pharmaceutical companies and the possible influence this may have had on the country's vaccination strategy. Global Policy Forum raised some of these concerns in a study from December 2015 called Philanthropic Power and Development: Who Shapes the Agenda? It cautioned on the growing influence, whether sought or unsought, of the large global philanthropic foundations, especially the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, on political discourse and agenda setting. A lot of times it's kind of like whack-a-mole with eugenics-obsessed so-called elites like the Gates Foundation, but we'll take a good whack on them, James.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, let's take this when we can get it. I'm not sure it exactly spells the end for Gates's immunization plans, but at any rate, it is an interesting move. And I would like to think this is part of that kind of dominoes that we've seen with Kazakhstan stripping U.S. aid workers of diplomatic immunity, and then China passing laws regulating NGOs, and then Russia declared the National Endowment for Democracy an undesirable NGO. India placed the Ford Foundation on a security watch list. All of this happened in the last couple of years. I wrote an article about this at the time back in 2015 called Beware Americans Bearing Gifts, NGOs as Trojan Horses. That I will put in the show notes so people can read through about that. But I think it is, I mean, it's obviously, I'd like to think it's part and parcel of that. And yet, I know that it's not like there's any love lost between Narendra Modi and Bill Gates. In fact, Gates was in town visiting Modi and the top-ranking Indian parliamentarians in the very week of the demonetization, and he was praising it and saying how, oh, this will springboard the India into the, you know, new fintech revolution and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not sure this is necessarily directed at Gates per se. I think there may be, you know, obviously different organizations that are involved in putting pressure on the government to try to dissociate themselves with the Gates Foundation for a number of reasons. And as you say, let's take it for, you know, the victory as it is, but it's obviously not the final victory.
You make so many good points there, and I think just maybe the closing note on all of this that goes through the stories of the informants and the divide and conquer and the hacks and all of it. There's 4D chess going on. It's complicated. There's not a unified field conspiracy theory, and everything is all kind of connected. 4D chess going on, and essentially they want us to all kind of just play checkers and think it's all that simple, and that it is just kind of black and white. So in closing, all I'll say is, James, you and I both have Patreon accounts. We are completely listener-supported, non-commercial alternative media outlets. We're on Patreon, and we got Bitcoin, and we will continue to do that work like we've been doing.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it again next week. Thank you.